This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Heartbleed bug is a newly discovered security vulnerability that puts users' passwords at many popular websites at risk. Since word got out about Heartbleed, the web has been upended. We're told that this is an extremely serious issue, and there is a lot of confusion about the bug and its implications as you use the internet. And as we learned about Heartbleed, Microsoft is also ending its support for Windows XP, making millions of PCs vulnerable to hackers and viruses. So we're going to be talking about these security issues for the internet. If you've got a question about these security problems, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us, if you dare, your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Have you changed your computer habits? Are you concerned about these issues? We're joined by Ray Sims. He's an assistant director at the Center for Informational Assurance at UTSA, and Julie Bort. She's an editor for Enterprise Computing at Business Insider. And welcome both of y'all to The Source. Ray, let me ask you, Heartbleed, what is Heartbleed? Where did you get that name?
Heartbleed is a problem in open source software known as OpenSSL. This is the software that powers the security portion of the internet. So when you see that lock icon in your browser, that's being powered by OpenSSL. There's a problem in the implementation of that that allows attackers to get in and read data that's in the memory of those server computers.
And so in basic, I don't understand what you're saying. So my computer is like Swiss cheese, is basically, because of this thing.
Right. The servers that we have running the internet have this problem where an attacker can go in and get anything that's in the memory for the server, whether that's passwords, whether that's secret keys. All the information that's on that server is now available to attackers. And we have no real way of defending against it and no real way of knowing if it's happened or not.
And Julie, when did you first hear about Heartbleed?
Well, the story broke about a week ago that there was a vulnerability that affected everybody's passwords. So that's when I started writing about it. But apparently, security researchers knew that this bug existed for about the last 2 years. So it sort of only came to light when another security researcher noticed that it was being used in really big websites like Yahoo and Google. So, that's when everyone got really concerned, and we started writing a lot of stories telling people that they're going to have to change their passwords pretty soon.
And, Ray, when did you first hear about Heartbleed?
About a week ago as well.
And this is your field. You're in computer security.
Yes, sir. This is what we do. This particular vulnerability has been in OpenSSL for about 2 years. The security community as a whole kind of found out about it about a week ago, worked with the vendor to create a patch, and then kind of got the news out there that this was going on.
So, but even though you two, this is your field, just found out about it recently, were there people deep in the hacking community who knew about Heartbleed? Julie?
Well, apparently there were. Apparently there were some warnings about it about 2 years ago. But it came to light when a security researcher discovered that it was in big websites about a week ago. And so even though it's been out there for a long time, there's sort of a double problem when you get a lot of news about this. So one is, yeah, there's probably been hackers that have been exploiting it for a really long time. But now that everyone is aware of it, even hackers are more aware of it. So we are seeing reports that there are increased incidences of, attacks on Heartbleed going on right now. So even though it has been around for a while and people have known about it, it's sort of really in the last week that it's gotten serious in combination with the warnings and the protection.
And Julie, you mentioned earlier people are supposed to change their passwords. Is that really a protection?
Well, it is a protection. It sort of depends. The first thing is to verify that the website that you're trying to access or your device actually has the Heartbleed vulnerability. And there's a lot of tools available from that. One really popular one is like a Chrome add-on. So if you use Chrome as your browser, you can add this little Heartbleed checking add-on to it, and then it automatically checks websites as you're going around doing your business. So if there's a vulnerability with that website, then you do need to check to change your password, but you need to change your password after they've updated the website And that's part of the problem. The big sites that have known about this vulnerability and have warned about it, the Google, Yahoo, Facebook, those have hurried up and patched their websites, and you should change your passwords right now and become safe. But there are a good 300 other websites out there that businesses use that still haven't changed, still haven't gotten the patches rolled out. So until they patch, changing your password isn't going to really help you.
Yeah, it does seem confusing. If this is this big a vulnerability and they can read encrypted information, they can go into my computer, I change my password, then they can see I changed my password, right? Is that right?
That's correct. And that's why, as Julie said, you have to wait for those websites to have updated their site so that they're no longer vulnerable, and then change your password. So once we close that hole that attackers have been using to read that encrypted data, then we go back and we change our password. And so that's, I think, part of the reason that this has been a very difficult time for end users is because what do we do? Where do we change our website? Where do we change our passwords? Which websites? Do I wait now? Do I wait till tomorrow? When am I supposed to do all of this?
So, Julie, what is the reaction that people are having? I mean, not just the industry, but users like myself, you know, I'm like, this sounds very concerning.
Well, let me just ask you, I mean, people get concerned, but they also don't change their behaviors very easily. So let me just ask you, have you changed all your passwords?
I changed all my passwords from intern to admin.
So the thing is, it's still actually really hard to get people to change their passwords or to change their behavior. So you probably should be changing your passwords on a regular basis anyway. Most people don't do that, and you can hardly blame them, right? It's a lot of passwords to keep track of. But as the Internet becomes a more and more important part of your daily life, you are going to want to think about password management. You maybe want to invest or get even a free password management tool that kind of helps you keep track of all your passwords. So there's tools like LastPass out there. They're having their heyday right now. So there's things like that you want to do anyway. And then you just want to calm down. You don't want to jump around. There's a lot of scams right now going on.
What's a scam?
So a scam is, like, for instance, Microsoft's websites aren't vulnerable to Heartbleed. They don't use OpenSSL. So there will be companies or scams or ads that say, oh, I see you're using a Microsoft operating system. You know, you're at risk for Heartbleed. Download this piece of software now. And then, you know, that can open up a whole new can of worms.
And so when you download that software, then basically you've given your computer over to a criminal.
It could be something as big as that, where it's actual malware you're downing on, or it could be just a simple scam where they're trying to get $15 out of you, and they're not going as, you know, criminal crazy as adding your computer to a botnet. But yeah, it's still not a good idea to do that. So there's a lot of scams. So one of the issues is you want to take practical...
Okay, we're going to talk more about that. I want to hear these practical solutions in just a bit. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about the Heartbleed vulnerability here on The Source. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Heartbleed vulnerability on the Internet. Also, we're going to be talking about the Xpocalypse, which is the end of the XP operating system for Windows and what that means for us as well. Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment, give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. Or you can email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And with me to talk about that, we have Ray Sims. He's the Assistant Director at the Center for Information Assurance at UTSA, and Julie Bort, an Editor for Enterprise Computing at Business Insider. So, Julie, Business Insider, you guys looking at the business of the Internet, and is there a loss of confidence? I mean, if people feel like, I just can't trust the Internet, I'm going to go back to writing checks or something, is that a concern?
I don't think so. I just can't imagine that technology is going to roll back. It's more like an aggravation of the modern world, you know, that we're just going to have to learn how to deal with.
Okay. Ray, there have been some patches put out, but then they failed. And so that's also adding to the concerns, or people are worried, is this working or not? So how safe are these patches?
That's true. The patches themselves are safe. Some organizations have had some issues when rolling out their patch, and they've had to go back and try again. But the major sites, the majority of the sites that are affected have changed, have deployed the patch and are safe. But we still need to go back and change our passwords at those sites. You know, Facebook, Dropbox, Google, Yahoo, Etsy. All of these places are places that have been vulnerable to this worm, to this bug, and have made the updates. But it's still up to the users to go ahead and do their part in this as well.
And so, Julie, what is the worst thing that we've heard that has happened because of Heartbleed?
Wow, that's a really good question. So a lot of the things that I've heard that are worse, the worst-case scenarios, are happening in the security realm, sort of Raise realm, where hackers have actually demonstrated that they could use this attack to conduct even bigger attacks and grab keys and those kinds of things. But I think the biggest risk right now is just that there's people that have your password. And a lot of people use the same password for a lot of different services. So if you use the same password for Facebook as you do your bank, you know, that's when you're really adding a lot of risk to what you're doing on the Internet and why you need to change passwords and keep some kind of password management system.
So, Ray, are these a lot of white hat hackers, people who have read about this vulnerability and they want to check it out for themselves, and then they'll report what they've found and try and add to the crowdsourcing information stuff to make us, you know, figure out how to patch it up?
Yeah, the majority of the information that we're getting right now is from these white hat hackers. But that doesn't mean that the black hat hackers aren't out there doing it. It just means that they're not giving us the information about it. So we tend to find out information about what the attackers are doing later on. So a month later, we'll figure out what it is that they've been doing. So right now, the information that's coming out, how bad it is, that's coming from the white hat security researchers right now.
And Dre, also, I've heard that smartphones can be impacted by the Heartbleed vulnerability.
Yes, any device that uses OpenSSL, this open source software.
Well, I don't know if mine uses it or not.
And almost all devices use OpenSSL.
Okay, I guess mine does.
So I think it's assume that you're vulnerable, apply the updates, and take the precautions.
So when you say apply the updates, does that mean I wait for the little bubble to appear and say there's an update available, or do I have to be more aggressive than that?
You can wait for the bubble to appear. When we're talking about the devices, it's not as big of a security concern as it is for the servers, just because on the servers we have hundreds of thousands of people's information that's available. And on the device, it's just your information, which I guess is important to you.
Yeah. So, Julie, you mentioned these password managers, and I don't understand how that is any better than having just a password, because can't they hack into my password manager and get all my passwords at once?
Well, no. But okay. I want to back up for a minute, because just for a minute. So Apple devices are not vulnerable. Apple has said they don't use OpenSSL. And I don't think Microsoft devices are vulnerable either. We do know that one type of Google device, a Google Android device using Jelly Bean, is vulnerable. And Google right now is working with the device manufacturers that still have Jelly Bean out there.
So you're talking about smartphones, right?
Well, I'm talking about smartphones. Well, and as far as Apple devices are, that's iPads too. And Android tablets. So that should put your mind at ease a little bit. It's not quite as terrifying that, hackers could get into every phone. And I also just want to say, like Ray had mentioned, their motivation to hack into individual phones, one phone at a time, that's not as likely a scenario as going after a server that has millions of passwords there. So just to say that. Okay, so password managers. The reason why it might be a good idea to do this, you probably maybe use a spreadsheet. You've got some method right now for writing down and keeping track of your passwords. But if you transfer that from just writing it down into a document or a spreadsheet and go ahead, buck up, and get a password manager and learn about that, that password manager can then help you with situations like this. It can easily change your password. And you just remember the one password manager, the one password for your password manager. So it's just a step of making things like this easier.
Okay. So let's talk about this Windows XP. This is an operating system that many people have been using for a long time, and its end of life has come around. Microsoft says it will no longer be supporting this 11-year-old operating system. So so what does that mean for me? Say I've got, and I do have, Windows XP on my home computer, and it works for me fine. Why do I have to upgrade, Ray?
So what it means is that there will be no more security updates for Windows XP.
Well, if it's a
XP.
Security Swiss cheese anyway, why do I care?
Because as an attacker, I'm going to look for those vulnerabilities and I'm going to target those vulnerabilities because I know that they're not going to be patched. I know that they're not going to be updated. It also means that there's no technical support. So if you have a problem with your machine and you would call Microsoft to get your technical support, they're not going to offer that support as well. It means a lot more for the business user than it means for the home user. Most of the home users, because the machines have increased in power over the last few years, most of those XP machines have been replaced as people have upgraded their computers themselves. You know, I got a slow computer, I'm going to go to Best Buy and get a new one. And that new computer will have Windows 7, it'll have Windows 8, something like that on there. And so for the home users, it's not as big of an issue. We don't see as many Windows XP users at home as we do in the business world, where Windows XP is used all over the place, from the displays at airports that show you, you know, when your flight's delayed and when it's on time, to ATMs, point-of-sale systems, even industrial control systems that control water, power, lights, those types of things that are still running on XP. And that's really the issue, because we don't want attackers to have access to those types of systems.
And Julie over at the Business Insider, I'm sure y'all are following the story as well, particularly that finding out that the IRS is still using a lot of Windows XP computers. What's happening there?
So what Microsoft has done is, actually they've always had this program. So it's gone from we are supporting XP, and when we find a security hole, we're going to fix it and send that out to everybody, to custom contracts. So companies like the IRS or the UK government, various others, even the banks with ATMs, have negotiated with Microsoft. They're going to pay Microsoft a lot of money, and Microsoft is going to continue to patch XP and send them those patches. The idea is, you know, and Microsoft calls this, you know, like a last-ditch effort to give them just enough time to get off XP so that they can get onto a Windows operating system that Microsoft is going to continue to support. So and one other good news. So if you do have XP at home and you're using it, Microsoft won't send you security fixes, but it has agreed to continue to send security alerts. So if there is a new bug introduced and your system becomes vulnerable, your Microsoft virus software will at least alert you and say, hey, you know, you've got a new bug.
And
so that's good news.
And it seems like
in
I get those all the time.
Its own way.
Yeah.
Its own way.
But Julie, so is Microsoft, are they expecting people to go buy brand new operating systems for their home computers?
Well, yeah, that's what they hope that people do. Obviously, they would like to move people onto Windows 8. And even Windows 7 is already 4 years old, you know. So obviously, they would like to get people moved on to the latest, greatest thing. Windows 7 and XP are far more secure systems to begin with. So it's in their best interest to move people on. If you still have an XP box and it works great, you might want to try, you know, putting Linux on it if you have a little bit of a technical background and you think you can handle that. So there's ways to keep those boxes alive for a few more years, too.
All right, let's go to the phones. And our phone line is 614-8980, 614-8980. Rick has called in. Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Rick, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, she might have just answered my question. My question was, I don't use a Mac or Windows. I'm on Linux. And how would that be affected, the Ubuntu programs?
Okay, with the Heartbleed?
Yeah, how would that be affected by Heartbleed?
Okay, all right, Rick, thanks for your question. Appreciate that. So, Ray, any ideas?
Ubuntu Linux does have some vulnerabilities with Heartbleed. They are issuing a patch and update. Again, this is for a home user system, so it is not as dire a problem. So as long as you're continuing to apply your updates like normal, it'll come in your next update. It probably is already on your machine right now.
And so, Julie, I mean, do these hackers, don't they have like little programs that to surf the internet looking for computers to crack into, even though I'm not paranoid enough to think that they're going to target me specifically, but just by being on the internet and by having an old operating system and not doing these patches, then they're going to find me.
Yeah, well, with XP, it is fairly dangerous if you're on the internet, because they have lots of ways to turn your XP box into, you know, a bot.
A bot would mean what?
Another,
it would get up and walk over and hit me in the head.
And their virus network.
So a bot would be like it would be sending out their spam.
Right. Yeah. Right. So then they could use your computer to help them send out spam or distribute viruses and things like that. So XP definitely has that risk, and now more than ever, now that Microsoft isn't sending you security fixes.
Okay. And so give me some actionable information, Ray. What do people need to know to be as secure as they can be right now with their home PCs and business PCs?
If you're using XP and you don't have to, stop.
Okay. And then if I got a better system, I'm worried about Heartbleed. What do I need to do?
You need to make sure that you're applying the updates. You need to make sure that you're running antivirus software. You need to do the basic cyber hygiene, we call it, of what it means to live in this world. It means that we don't use the same password at multiple websites. It means that we don't share those passwords with anyone. It means that we are installing the updates as Microsoft is making them available. We are... We're doing all of the things that we're supposed to do to keep our machine safe with antivirus and those things, making sure we back up our data as well.
Okay, we just have to realize basically that these things are not 100% secure, and we got to be exercise caution. Thanks, both of you. Julie Bort with Business Insider, Ray Sims, the UTSA Center for Informational Assurance. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after NPR News.